The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9.
Praise and glory to God.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that what the Father will give you, whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Thanks very much. Take a seat, everyone. Thanks, Alice. Yes, please. That will be great.
Is this on? Dear God, thank you, God, for this time together. Thank you for the preparation that Rebecca has done to share with us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come down on Rebecca now to fill her with your peace and give her the words to say, and that you will be with all of us and give us the ears to hear. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alice. Awesome. All right, let me just get this old technology going. Cool bananas. All right. Cool. Hey, I'd love everybody just to have a bit of a chat. First of all, turn to your neighbour. Do you have a favourite film or a book that talks about friendship? And what do you like about that book and how it shows you about what it shows you about friends? Okay. Book or a film that really, or a TV program that makes you think about friendship. Many. Ah, classic. Classic. Sam and Frodo. BFFs. Forever. All right. All right, a few more seconds. All right, does anybody fancy sharing who they talked about? Yes, Christopher, who did you talk about? Bluey? Oh, I've heard that Bluey is phenomenal. Is that right? Yeah. So who are Bluey's friends? Lots of friends? Yeah. Is Bluey a good friend most of the time?
They have a few disagreements.
Yep.
They work them out and they work out a positive way.
Great. Excellent. Good to have friends that we can practice being good friends with. Anybody else? Yeah. Ah, yes. Ah, that's smells a lot like the disciples. Anybody else? Any other friends in book or TV or film? Yes, Maz. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the kinds of friendships or relationships that transcend family as well, eh? It's like, what is family? Cool. Steve?
Yeah, my favourite movie of all time, Star Wars, is obviously one that shows the friendship people are evil and not so evil. It's the fourth.
May the fourth be with you yesterday too. Yeah, thanks. Great. Well, this passage today that we have, our John 15 passage, you've probably hit that a lot recently, maybe if you have taken part in our Lent studies. And in that whole passage, those chapters as well, we've got Jesus sharing his last great teaching, his last great speech with his friends. And they're words that are really familiar for people who've been around church for a long time, especially verses 12 and 15. We've got love one another, sorry, 12 and 13, love one another as I have loved you. And the other one, there is no greater love than laying down one's life for one's friends. So I don't think many of us, even people maybe who don't have a faith in Jesus, can really argue with those statements. But to be honest, as I prepared for today, I really, really struggled with this particular passage of scripture. And it took me right to the last minute to actually wrestle with it, to come up with something that I felt like I wanted to share. So I just wonder whether there's anything in this passage that you wrestled with too that was the same as me. And I don't know, is it possible to get it back on the screen, Richard, so that we can just have a look, maybe cycle through? Because there are some things in there that I really wrestle with. Wonder, just with that quick glance, is there anything that you find problematic? Any questions, problems? Diana, thank you very much. It's almost like you were there as I wrestled at the dining table. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Anybody else got anything that they also found problematic? It's all good. Things might come to you as we go. So what I'm going to do today is I'm actually just going to share my wrestle with this passage and what I found when I dug into it. It might not be the best sermon that I'll ever preach in my life, but I hope that the wrestling that I've done has some resonance for you. The Bibles are there in front of you. If you wanted to grab the passage as we go along, you're welcome to do that. All right. So, as Diana kind of suggested, my struggle is similar. It's not those beautiful verses in 12 and 13. It's rather what becomes before and what comes after. So, verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. So, I think the reason that I found those statements really hard has a lot to do with some things in my background. So when I was small and when at school, and to be honest, a lot older as well, I had quite a lot of trouble making friends at school. And I had several changes of school, and every time we moved, there was that period of several months where I would dread break time and I would dread lunchtime, because it would be 15 minutes or an hour of pretending that I did not mind that I was on my own. you know, wandering around, trying to find things to do, looking busy, until after several months, you've reached that point where you've found that group who seem to take you on as your own. And the second thing in my background is that I was always, or I always hoped to be, the smart one. That was my thing. And to be found not to be was deeply humiliating. And I was reflecting with Diana the other day about the time that, the period in which I was doing French lessons outside of school, after school, and how one day I saw the notes of the reliever teacher that we had. And our usual teacher had written descriptions of each of the students in the class to help the reliever identify who was who. So I was described as the older one, and another child was the smart one. Ooh. And the emotion I felt actually was not outrage in that moment, but it was shame. I was so ashamed that I was not the smart one. So a big part of my identity has always been bound up with getting it right and being the best. So, in this passage then, when I read of a God who says that he's our friend, but it reads as if there are conditions of command and performance related to it, I'm straight back to that small child within me who longs to have friends and wants to be the best. And I'm just I end up, if I'm not careful, mired in shame and fear that Jesus can't be my friend because I've not achieved what he commands. But these feelings, we know, are not of God, because we know that God's perfect love casts out fear. And we know that no one is alone or outside of the love of God ever. So for me, when there's something in scripture that leaps out at me is really hard, or it brings up emotions that I know are not of God, then I know it's really worth digging into it, even if it's hard. Because the enemy wants us to let the lies of who God is, the lies about the character of God, creep in and take over until there's no room left for the truth. So here's what I did when here's what I found when I dug into the text, and I'm really glad that I did. And a lot of this is just really obvious, and you're going to look at me and go, how are you even a priest? Because, well, duh. But anyway, hopefully it is. All right, first up, translation is important. We had a slightly different translation than the one I wrestled with today, and maybe that was a thing I should have thought about right at the start. I read, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So for me, that sounds threatening. You must remain in my love. So what about a different translation? So we had abide today. Abide is a bit nicer, eh? Maybe even it gives you a sense of like rest. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Rest in my love. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You can just rest in it. The second thing is audience matters. So we need to remember who Jesus is talking to. Jesus is talking to his disciples who he has done this huge, long journey of deep, deep relationship with, and they have given up everything to follow him. So the truths in that are universal, but the context is important too. It's almost like Jesus is saying, I can see that you are my friends when you've tried your hardest to do what I've asked of you. Or I can see that you're my friends because you have tried everything to follow me. And those disciples were not the best. They were not the ones who were the smartest. They were not squeaky clean people. But that does not mean that they existed outside of the love of God. And we just see in the story of Scripture, again and again, God is reaching out to humanity, and even when we fail to live up to our side of the bargain, God is still faithful and God is still true. And we see that too in our passage in Acts again today, the kingdom of God expanding and expanding beyond what those disciples ever could have thought or imagined. And we also see this reaching out in one of my favourite post-resurrection stories, and that's Peter on the beach with Jesus. And this is Peter who at Jesus' arrest 3 times said, I don't know who this guy is. And who Jesus then 3 times on the beach asks, Peter, do you love me? And gives him that re-invitation to follow me. We just see that over and over again. The other thing about the commands of God that we read about in this passage, they're actually good. They're actually worth following. So the longest psalm in the whole of the psalms is a psalm in praise of how good the laws and the commands of God are. So what God asks of us when Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command," these things are actually meant for our flourishing and our freedom. They're not things that are out to get us. So when we think of commandment or command today, sometimes maybe we think of authority, which asks us to obey without discussion. But that's not what we're talking about. This is something, a gift that is given to us from God. So if God is good and God's commands are designed for our flourishing, why wouldn't we try our hardest to obey them? And the command Jesus gives us here is so good. It's just love one another. That's the new commandment. Let's look at who Jesus is. Jesus is no ordinary friend. He's not the kid in the playground who says that he'll only be friends with you if you give him your strawberry yogurt. Okay? He's not like that. Jesus, the Son of God, he's not just our friend, but he's also our King. He's also our Lord. And Jesus offers the best of what friendship offers. He offers deep, authentic vulnerability and love, which is sacrificial and costly. And we hear in the start of this passage how Jesus says that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So we hear that actually in the friendship of Jesus, we have the heart of God opened up to us. It's pretty cool. And with that deeper friendship, I think naturally comes that responsibility to reciprocate that friendship too. In verse 16, we see that Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So Jesus isn't even asking us to be his friends. He's already called us his friends. He's actually asking us to love each other in the way that he's loved us. I found a way of paraphrasing this that I really liked in verse 16. Perhaps Jesus is saying to us, whether you like it or not, in the death I will die for you. I have already offered you friendship. It is already done. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't ask me to die for you, but I'm going to do it anyway. And from that, I think it's a logical follow through that the kind of love that Jesus shows us is, as the old hymn puts it, love so amazing, so divine, that demands my soul, my life, my all. Or Spider-Man's uncle put it a bit differently, I'm going to paraphrase, with great love comes great responsibility. And I just saw Nate eye roll. Anyway, going back to that small child who struggled to make friends and who sought to be the best. And I, in light of this passage, I've realised again this week that ongoing journey that I and all of us, I suspect, need to make towards understanding that we are never going to live up to the commandments of God. We just can't. So that's why our friend and our King, Jesus, chose to lay down his life for us. In my reaction to this text, I had forgotten that grace exists. And ultimately, in the whole arc of Scripture and in the arc of our experience now, we know that people... God is more loyal to people than people ever are loyal to God. So it's not that Jesus asks us for our loyalty or obeying of commands in order to gain friendship. It's that Jesus was and always will be loyal to us, and his friendship is offered to us anyway. So, in the words of another old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.